Hello, I'm Mark Steiner. I'm laughing because bass man is spraying something at me. I don't know why. What are you trying to say? We're here today. We have a lot going on. Michelle is in the house. Comedian, actress, 2001 OSI fellow. We're going to talk about why the right wing is attacking Michelle Obama. In spite of the fact we have food deserts across America where people can't get decent food to eat. We'll talk a bit about that. We'll talk about a bunch of other things with her. And Shorty was arrested for putting that toilet on the lawn in Towson. Did you all read about that? He's been held for $250,000 bail. It's a lot outrageous. He just left a toilet there with a note on it. We'll talk about that and some more and why he may be in jail and some other real issues facing our country and our society. We'll also hear from the president of Morgan State University in the second hour and meet the actors of Shooting Star, a really interesting play over at Everyman Theater. So stay with us for all that and a bit more. But right now we're going to turn this over to WEAA Traffic, check on the roads, and come right back to our conversation. So please, stay with us. Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome back. We have in the house this evening Michelle, who is a comedian, actress, mother, activist, 2011 OSI Fellow, the Open Society Institute Fellow, founder of the Gold Diggers Project. She talked about that when she was here last time with some of the other fellows from that program. And she'll be joining us once a month to talk about whatever's on her mind, what's happening in the news, what's going on around the world. Welcome, Michelle. Good to have you in the studio.
Hello, Mark. Hello, WEAA. I am excited to be with you.
Me too.
Cool beans.
You're here. You and my sister. Cool beans. And there's a lot of things we could talk about here.
Yeah.
Now, first of all, you opened this email about Michelle Obama being attacked by the right wing for her Healthy Kids campaign.
Which is absurd.
Which we can get into. And there was this piece in the paper yesterday about this toilet that was left on the Baltimore County lawn. It's outside. You're dinging.
OMG. No, that's gone. That's over.
And so it was covered with all these newspaper clippings, an electronic transmitter, and a cell phone. They thought it was a bomb.
Right.
And
It's not funny.
It was just a toilet.
It's a toilet.
He was making a statement on his Facebook about how bad government is.
And it's full of...
Yes.
Yeah.
And so, but I looked at the paper. I know the guy.
You would know the guy, Mark. You're supposed to know the guy. That's occupational hazard. That's why we have you here. It's your job to know the guy.
It's Shorty. Shorty used to own, still owns, on Falls Road. This really, we wouldn't go there because it's a rib house.
Oh, yeah. No, no. And why would you be there? What kind? I'm not going to say it.
What?
I'm not going to say it. You're not kosher, Mark.
No.
Yeah, I know that. You're a whole lot of things. You're definitely not kosher.
I am not kosher. No. That.
So Shorty owns a rib place.
Give up shrimp? I don't think so.
You eat everything that eats everything.
I'm an omnivore. You're
there
a vegan.
There you go. And it works out. That's why we get along so well. I don't want no trouble when you ask for trouble.
I'll get back to my vegan thing in a minute. I know Shorty. He did time, came out, built this really good business. And he's always a pain. His real name is Dwayne Davis. He's always a pain in everybody's butt. I mean, he goes after everybody. Went after, I think it was New Salmos Baptist Church. He was angry at them for something, somebody in the congregation. He's in jail for $250,000 bail.
They've got him at $250,000?
Which is ridiculous.
Yeah, but it's a statement. They say, you're making a statement, we're making a statement. We don't play that, and you don't believe in that. You know, so we don't play that. But here's the crazy part, Mark. What overall was his frustration with Baltimore County? What was his frustration? Because it's one thing to be frustrated, but what is your frustration? First of all, your name is Shorty. I'm frustrated. I'm frustrated because you're a grown man and your name is Shorty. That's my frustration. But that's neither here nor there, Mark. You know, what is his what could get his panties in a bunch and he already has this whole Shorty thing going on? That should make
him
nervous.
On his Facebook page, he wrote, I left my toilet at the Baltimore County Courthouse. Also left a kite of knowledge. Secrets will not block justice. Secrets will not block justice.
So he's a philosopher.
He's many things. He said he also left something at the Basilica, leaving material at the Basilica. And he's leaving material everywhere. And so he's also, he had a big beef with New Salmos Baptist Church. And he's a little out there.
Yeah, but he starts a lot of sugar honey iced tea, as my mother would say.
He does.
Sugar honey iced tea.
But he's not hurting anybody.
Yeah, but he hurt my feelings, you know.
Because his name is Shorty?
Yes, and because he put a toilet. Nobody will understand. We as African American people already have enough issues. Don't add fire to the flame and your name is Shorty and you probably about 50 years old.
It was a symbolic act.
A symbolic of his frustration with the sugar honey iced tea he's been going through?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, you know, I just need him to have a larger platform besides toilets. And why couldn't he go to Home Depot and get a fresh toilet? Why do we have an old toilet? I would rather at least
I don't know if it's old or new. It was all covered with stuff and stickers. I have no idea.
Sugar honey iced tea.
Yes.
Right.
I don't know whether it was old or new. Or,
but you know what, Mark?
He might have just bought the toilet.
But I would like to know why did he simply go to the Basilica and then he goes to the Baltimore County? I mean, what's his tour? What's the tour about?
I think that he is generally, one of the things I know he said before, he's generally angry about what he calls white justice and black injustice in Baltimore County.
There's validity to that, but I think there's all kinds of ways to deal with that, and I don't know if a toilet really is. And then now you get $125,000 bail for the toilet. You know, you're really perpetuating the white justice that you so hate. You know, you're giving them an opportunity to really put that on you. And they're showing you by putting it's like bounty. But, you know, Mark, I guess I'm okay with that. I'm more concerned about some of the things that are just, I don't know if you've noticed, but there are still streets in Baltimore that are covered in ice. Like there are still small streets and sidewalks where kids are going to school that are covered in ice. And they're the communities that probably don't have a huge amount of shorties there, because maybe if Shorty was in that community, he would be leaving a big ball of salt, you know, in the mayor's office.
Well, those are the communities that Shorty came from.
Right, and those I'm from West Baltimore.
Right.
You know, right where the racetrack is, Belvedere, Garrison, you know, Cordelia, Arbutus, you know, Park Heights all day. But at the same time, they still have a level of community there. Even with all that's happened, there are still community leaders who will do things to get mm-hmm. stuff done. Not a toilet, but they'll do things
but
to get stuff done.
But don't you see that there are time for symbolic actions. This is like this is a symbolic placing of something that says this is the state of our society. This is a symbolic of what is happening to us.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Sugar honey iced tea.
Sugar honey iced tea. Yeah. Yeah. It was kind of poetic. It was
but
a little
now
poetic.
He's in jail and can't
and
get
now
out.
He can't update us on his status on Facebook from jail. I don't think that he cannot update his status. But Mark, there's even bigger things happening, and not that his situation isn't big. And for all those who are related to Shorty Dwayne Davis, you know, I hope that you can clean up this mess, so to speak, and keep this thing, you know, on a high road. Definitely speak his piece, give an opportunity to say what he needs to say. And I'm sure he's speaking for a lot of people, Mark.
I think he is. And he's a guy who dances to his own drummer. He's a Republican. He backed Ehrlich. I remember all that from when I bought some riffs.
Well, he should
have
been there with Michael Steele when they drove him through the mill because Mike needed a hand. Shorty should have been there putting toilets all over the Republican committee and the whole Republican Party because they dragged that brother through the ringer. I mean, they did, Mark. He's a punchline now. Now he's an adjective. You know that, right?
He is, but didn't he do that to himself in some ways?
I don't know. I mean, is it fair to say that he believed in what he believed? I mean, I think somewhere in his mind, he honestly believed in the Republican Party. I think he historically believed in what they stood for historically. Because I remember having sidebar with him, and he is very he's very comical about some of his Republican ideals. You know, he looks at himself and he says, "Yeah, I know," and then he still spews the rhetoric. So, in one regard, I have a lot of admiration for Michael Steele. Another regard, I just think he wasn't really clear on who he was in bed with. I mean, you got to be clear who you're sleeping with. You know that, Mark. You've been married. I mean, you are married. You are married.
I am married.
Right. I mean, I admit that with all grace. You got to know who you're sleeping with.
Yes.
Right. So Michael Steele, he knew he was sleeping with, but I think he had delusions, you know.
Well, I think Michael's thing was complex. Folks, you can join us in any of these things. We're going to talk about Michelle Obama and food deserts in Baltimore in a minute as well. 410-319-8888 is the number here. And just to let you know, as an aside, tomorrow we'll go back to Egypt. We have more people from Cairo and other places we'll be talking to tomorrow. Mubarak, they're trying to say he stamped it, stopped it, but then hundreds of thousands of people showed up today to stop the streets again in Cairo. It's the most amazing thing in my lifetime. I love it, too.
I love it.
But going back to where we were.
With Michael Steele.
Yes, thank you. Michael Steele. And what do you think of Michael Steele? 410-319-8888. I mean, I think Michael Steele is a genuine conservative.
Yeah.
He is. I know he danced around and avoided coming on my show for 4 years. That he did too. But I think that part of it was he is like a loose cannon and shoots off without thinking about what he's saying. And gets jammed for those reasons as well. But what he came up against was
the grand old party.
The grand old party who likes – some of the Republicans are going to get mad at me because I'm going to say this anyhow. Many people in the grand old party like their black folks a certain way.
Oh, yeah.
And so they can elect somebody black if he fits a certain mold. But if you start talking in hip-hop jargon, if you start thinking about it, even as an aside, as a joke, if you do any of that kind of thing, if you don't fit a certain mold, then your blackness is threatening to the whiteness of the institution.
I.e. J.C. Watts.
Yes.
They liked J.C. Watts
and
for a spell.
And two new black Republican congressmen, both seem to be very bright guys, but as long as you don't have an agenda that has to do with the rights of black folks in America, then you're okay.
And don't have rhythm. Please, if you have rhythm, it's over.
You know J.C. Watts didn't have rhythm.
Oh, clearly he didn't have rhythm.
How do you know he
didn't have rhythm. No, I wouldn't go anywhere where he was. But the deal is, the deal too, Mark, is the other, you know about the other guy that they put up against in Chicago. What's his name? They brought him in to run against
The ambassador.
Yeah, he's a real strange man
from
Maryland.
From
Maryland. He escapes me because I won't commit his name to memory. But they pulled him out of the woodworks and had him run against try to run for the seat that the president had given. It was just bizarre. The whole notion. You're right. There's something about Michael Steele that always said to me that he knew exactly what he was doing, and yet he still had the kahunas to do it. So in his boldness, I appreciate, but I don't appreciate the fact.
Alan Keyes.
That's another guy. Literally, he had a hand up his back the entire time that he would ever be in.
The idea that they couldn't find anybody in Illinois to run against Barack Obama.
Right.
And so they had to find
a black guy
from Maryland.
Yeah.
To relocate to Illinois.
Yeah, let's move you to Illinois and let's get you to run. Nobody knows you. That doesn't matter.
Right.
We're going to match you up with another black guy and then you guys are going to run. So you're right. But Michael Steele, I think, just really didn't. He saw it coming. But for whatever reasons, he really believed that the grand old party were going to be gentlemanlike and deal with him as a gentleman who had the Republican ideals, you know, in his heart. You know, when you listen to him talk, the thing that insulted me the most about Michael is he was so much smarter than he would speak. When he said, I'll bring the chicken, you know, when he, that whole I'll bring the chicken statement, let's sit down and have a conversation, and I'll bring the chicken. Are you kidding me? I mean, will you really bring the chicken? And why are we having chicken? Who says I want chicken? You know?
Well, so Rush Limbaugh knows. Who was it who said? No, it wasn't Trent Lott. It was DeLay, who is
Tom DeLay.
Tom DeLay, who is now in jail.
Of course he is.
In Texas. Said when Barack Obama was elected, he said instead of spending $125 million on an inauguration parties, he should just have a fried chicken dinner.
Right. And here it is.
The chicken.
And these are the guys that he wanted to be in bed with. It makes no sense to me, Mark. So part of this would be, you know, kind of serendipitous to some people who are like, yeah, well, this is what Steele gets because he knows who he was in bed with. I don't know.
Well, I do think in some ways, and I have nothing against Michael Steele. I happen to like Michael Steele. I mean, I don't dislike the man at all. Would love to have a conversation with him officially and unofficially. But I just think that he brought it on himself in many ways. I mean, he knew what he was doing. He knew what he was doing when he ran for governor. I mean, he was trying to find a place in the Republican Party.
Right.
And I think that he was used for a period of time in the way he needed to be used, and they needed somebody in there who was going to help them win the 2012 election.
Yeah, but that didn't happen.
No, 2012.
Ah.
They hope.
I'll tell you what, Mark. He would do better just to cut his losses and then go in a different direction and get on the circuit. Get on the lecture circuit.
Well, that's how he's going to make money now, probably.
Yeah, make some money. You know, poke a little fun. Be a little self-deprecating. You know, poke a little fun at yourself. Talk about the bad choices you made. Because you don't want to be an adjective and not get any any spin out of it. I mean, look at Kanye. Kanye's an adjective now. Don't pull a Kanye. If pulls a Kanye, you know it's going to be some drama. You know, somebody's getting a microphone snatched. Somebody's going to get pushed out of the way. You don't want to be a Michael Steele. You know what I mean? And we don't even know what that adjective really translates to as of yet. So he's not even a defined adjective.
Right.
At least Kanye, we know is going to be obnoxious and absurd, a little self-righteous, you know, off-putting. We don't know what Michael's adjective is.
Let's see what our listeners think. You want to have someone join us here?
Absolutely.
410-319-8888. Let us go to Julie, who I think has a comment, not about Michael Steele, but about something else. Mm-hmm. But then we'll go to the other callers. Robert, Aaron, coming to you. And Julie, you're on the air.
Hi.
Julie.
So glad I found you again, Mark.
God, I'm glad you did too.
I will comment about Michael Steele. I like him. I like the fact that he reaches across party lines and he is self-deprecating. But what I'm calling about is the food deserts. And I've said this for years, and I said it on your old show. If you take exactly the same supermarket, a big brand name supermarket, and you put it in a more wealthy area, everybody there is nice and friendly and the product's good and products are cheaper, then you take that same exact store in a poorer neighborhood, the people who work there are nasty and mean, they fight with each other, the store's dirty, the product's poor, then it costs more. And it's a shame. And I live in a neighborhood in between the two, and I have to drive to in the opposite direction to get good food and good service.
Now, where is that?
I live in Union Square.
Union Square, okay, yeah. Well, as you're speaking, I didn't show this to Michelle. I was going to show it to her earlier, but I'll slide it over to her so she can see it. In 2010, the Johns Hopkins Center for Livable Future at the Johns Hopkins School of Public Health, mm-hmm. really great place, put out this study on food deserts in Baltimore and made this map of food deserts in the city, and it's amazing the neighborhood. You can it points out where the supermarkets are, where they're not, and a food desert is anything where you can't walk to a store, easily get to a store that has healthy, inexpensive food, like a Giant, Safeway, you know, those kind of places.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing. Well, I'll just turn this around. Well, this is the food desert map, and the purple areas are where the food deserts are in Baltimore City, and the stars are where the supermarkets are. And Baltimore is a food desert. I mean, if you're black and poor, if you're brown and poor, if you're white and poor and live in Baltimore City in those purple areas, you don't have healthy food. You have to buy food that costs 2-3 times the amount, fatty foods, meat that even meat eaters wouldn't want to eat. But you know what I'm saying? That's Baltimore's food desert map.
That's the
map of obesity. That's the map of illness.
That's absurd, and that is absolutely sad. Julie, are you still there?
Julie, you still with us?
I was also going to say the grocery stores say they don't put them in those neighborhoods because they don't have enough room for parking lots. But if you put it in a densely populated area, the truth is you don't need a parking lot because people walk to the grocery store.
Right.
You know, you only need enough. If you go to Montclair where there was a Safeway, which is the store I was referring to, the parking lot is enormous, just gigantic, and there's 10 cars on the parking lot at any given time. You don't need the parking lot. You just need a grocery store people can walk to and get decent food, a decent price with decent service, not be served by people who are pissed off they have a job.
It's interesting that you say that you meet nasty, mean people who are fighting and the food isn't good. Is the function of the food not being good because the people are mean and are fighting, or is the function of the food not being good because that particular grocery store and its chain has given them substandard produce and substandard food? Because if it's a chain store and it has to stay to the quality of all the other stores, I'm a little concerned about you wrapping that around the poor people who are working there who are not happy to have a job. So I just want to make sure that we're not mixing apples and oranges, so to speak, when you're talking about this poor service and then the food not being good, if it's the same exact chain store.
I'm pointing to, if you like take a steak that's on sale, at one time when the Safeway was there, the same exact steak would be ugly, but if you went over to Canton, it would be beautiful.
Right.
Super Fresh, which was in the West Side Shopping Center, was a very poorly maintained, dirty grocery store. And again, if you would go to get a piece of meat that was on sale there, it would be ugly. But if you went to Camden, it would be beautiful. And I don't know what makes the people working their stores so angry, except for maybe they're treated bad by those grocery stores,
right,
in those neighborhoods. But they that's what I'm assuming. If they are treated poorly by their employer, so they have more of an attitude, as opposed to if you're in Canton Safeway, everybody treats you good, so you have a great attitude.
I don't know, Julie. I was still puzzled by the whole the food not being good because, again, it speaks to the grocery store and not necessarily the people. But I hear what you're saying about them, how they're treated as well. I just think we need to be careful when we're trying to draw, you know, parallels or comparisons to, you know, stores and people and communities because it could – your point is an excellent point, but you just don't want to miss it and get it convoluted with the fact that these people may or may not be of a certain class or status.
But it's also the people, I think, who aren't paid as well. Working in stores, and like you can't go to an upscale Giant or Eddie's or Wegmans or Whole Foods, and you're not going to bump into an employee who's nasty because they don't put up with it.
That's true.
Customers don't put up with it. Store doesn't put up with it. And I think that what we have here, though, is, I mean, we have an entire city where hundreds of thousands of people cannot get access to decent food.
Well, that's a valid point, Mark. And again, I hear what both you and Julie are saying. I just want to be careful because we have no idea what the standard is for these stores and for their chains. We're not inside of those places, but we do understand that you do get a certain level of service in certain stores. I mean, I shop in Wegmans quite a bit. You're absolutely right. The service is impeccable. But I've had my nasty moments with people that work there.
Oh, yeah.
And so I just don't want to, you know, seem like everything is happening in this concentrated neighborhood when there are idiots all over the world, and they're not concentrated in certain communities.
No, I know. I absolutely
But there do. Are apathetic people as well but who don't see the glory of having a job. I do agree with that.
But the real issue is the food deserts. The real issue is how that's also tied to these crazy people who are attacking Barack Obama, Michelle Obama.
First Lady Obama, yeah, about the same subject matter. I mean,
right.
It's kind of not the same subject matter, but it feeds into what you think about it. She's creating, and they talked about it on another station yesterday, how every First Lady had something.
She's got Let's Move. This is one of her programs.
That's
Let's
just her
move.
Thing. You know, they said Lady Bird Johnson had her thing. Betty Ford, you know, when she was sober, had her thing going on. You know, everybody had something. Laura Bush had her thing. And then you get a first lady who picks the most non-controversial thing ever, which is to be healthy.
Right.
Healthy. Who objects to health?
Well, yeah, but I'm going to open the phones back up here because we do want to join this conversation when I get them all in here. But one comment on that is that did you watch Super Bowl?
Partly.
Okay, well, I did. I wasn't.
My team wasn't in, so.
Who's your team?
Mark, don't even play games with me.
Who's your team?
The Ravens.
Oh,
thank
the
you
Ravens.
Very much. You are out of control. You eat ribs and you don't root for your home team?
I did.
Are you the worst?
I rooted for the Ravens, but I was for the Packers because it's the only team in America that is owned by the community, that people cannot sell the Packers. It's the only team not owned by a billionaire.
That's a good point.
Anyway.
Anywho.
There is a commercial I saw on that. It's all over the TV now. It's a woman of color pushing a shopping cart, putting all this unhealthy stuff in her cart, you know, like soft drinks and whatever, and saying, going to this tirade about the government's trying to tell, wants to tax sugar drinks, wants to tax you know, water with flavors, wants to tax all these foods, and they should stay out of my life and out of my business. She picks up this, you know, like lime soda looking thing and puts it on the counter. I have a right to be unhealthy if I want to be unhealthy. So they're pushing this thing, and the industry's pushing it, and the right wing's pushing it as a choice. You know, what does Palin say? Let the parents decide, not the government, what people should eat. Nobody's telling anybody what to eat, but, you know, it's crazy what this food industry – now, the food industry is grabbing this and running with it to kill this campaign.
It's capitalism at its best. It's definitely, let's keep them medicated on sugar, high fructose corn syrup. Let's keep their minds numb on this foolishness that we're saying that we're against. You know, we're for them self-medicating with sugar and more sugar and red dye number 9 and everything else that's out there. Let's not get their heads clear. You know, these poor, you know, nasty, you know, people of color who work in these stores who aren't happy that they have jobs. Let's keep them ill on all of these synthetic things, because if they eat healthy, their minds will open up and they'll start to think and they'll realize this is all foolishness, and then we'll have to answer for our actions. That's what this is really about. Yes, does it sound conspiracy-driven? Of course it does. But I'm here to tell you, anytime Sarah Palin shows up to a school event with a whole ton of cookies and says, here's my treat for you guys, they're not going to tell us what to eat. This is absurd. So you bring cookies to get your kids high, glucose high, so they can smash and burn? I mean, really, this is bigger than it just being about health. They're angry because this woman of color who is fit and healthy and promotes the same lifestyle to the rest of the country, they're angry for that? I would rather you be angry that she brought a bunch of homeless harlots into the White House and wanted
homeless
to have
harlots.
Homeless harlots and wanted to do a dress for success. That's what I would be angry about. Why are you bringing these homeless harlots in, First Lady? This is a historical monument. You can't bring these harlots, but you could bring harlots in when they worked in Hollywood and last name was Monroe and would have parties with your brother, but you can't bring the harlots in from off of Southeast D.C. or West Baltimore who work in the nasty grocery stores. Don't bring them harlots in there.
You had to go back to that nasty grocery store thing, didn't you?
I'm a stand-up comic. That's occupational hazard.
It is an occupational hazard.
No, but
like
honestly,
it.
But the point being, Mark, is that let's find something really confrontational to be debating. This isn't a debate. This is a lifestyle that we should all promote. Healthy?
I agree, which is why you are a vegan.
Well, it's a lifestyle thing, Mark.
And
it
why
works
you
for
and your
me.
Husband promote...
Just being healthy.
And the whole athletic thing you guys promoted
yeah.
in the parks. And
yeah, it's about a good life.
We're losing
all.
A lot of callers. Let's get some people in this conversation who
sure.
have something to say to us about all the things we've been talking about. 410-319-8888. Aaron, real fast, and then we're going to go to Mackenzie, Clarence, and Fran in that order. So stay with us. Don't go away. We're going to get to all your calls. Aaron, you can take us to break.
Well, you know, with Michael Steele, I think he really did the best he could with that bunch. He wasn't going to please them no matter what he did. But my main thing is the mayor and her State of the City address to me was a bunch of lies. I wouldn't believe a word the mayor said if she said it was sunny outside.
I know. We know you hate the mayor. Every day you call, you just have a passion for hating this mayor.
No, it's not hate. It's just honesty. No, I don't hate the mayor. I'm just honestly telling the truth.
What could the mayor do differently in your mind's eye?
Well, at this point, I wouldn't believe anything she says because she's proven herself to be a liar to me. But
in action, we're talking about in action. What action would show forward that she's doing something of virtue or something that was of good cause for the city?
Well, one, she could really deal with the real needs of the people, which she has not done. And her goal seems to be to meet up with, to give the rich developers what they want instead of the poorest of the poor. I don't think she really cares, to be honest with you.
Okay.
And quite frankly, I'm just of the view that she's not honest and she's just an uncaring, unfeeling woman, to be honest.
Those are some strong statements, but we appreciate your opinion is valued and we appreciate it so much.
All right.
All right. Thank you, man. Thank you, Aaron. Take care. We're going to come right back to a brief break and come back to, as I said, it's Mackenzie, Clarence, Fran, Tyrone, many more people calling in. 410-319-8888. My dear friend Michelle is in the house.
Yes, sir.
Comedian, actress, mother, activist, 2011 OSI fellow and founder of the Gold Diggers Project, which is an amazing project over on Park Heights. The Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the Maryland State Mortgage Late Don't Wait program. For more information and personal counseling, the number is 1-877-462-7555. We'll be right back. Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome back. I'm here with Michelle, comedian, actress, mother, activist, 2011 OSI fellow, founder of the Gold Diggers Project. And we will have Michelle with us once a month here on the Mark Steiner Show. Yes, maybe more. Who knows?
Yeah.
But on our way back, let me remind you all that support for WEAA is provided by Mid-Atlantic Neurosurgical Associates, MANA, a center dedicated to those who suffer from brain, spine, and pain disorders. With 3 Baltimore locations, Manna's team of pain management physicians and surgeons provide a wide range of treatment options to improve the health and well-being of its patients. For more information online, mannapaincenter.com or 410-601-8314. And these folks have been huge supporters of ours and of the stations. And so,
good stuff, Mark.
Support those who support your friends.
Absolutely.
Let's go right to the phones at 410-319-8888. Mackenzie, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, Mackenzie.
I wanted to make a comment about the grocery stores in
Please.
Baltimore.
Please do.
I live in Canton, and I go to the Safeway on Boston Street, and I just think that is a terrible store. The customer service is poor. They never have enough food or variety. They're always out of meats or some type of bread. And there's nowhere else to go really in that area except for Whole Foods, and that's a little on the pricey side.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to comment on that. I just wish they would put another grocery store somewhere in that area.
Well, that's a good balance, Mackenzie, from, you know, our previous caller believed that that was one of the finer grocery stores, community grocery stores, simply because of the neighborhood. And it's just interesting to hear you say that you've had that experience there again.
Yeah. I mean, and there are, I'm looking at the East Baltimore map here. There are a lot of supermarkets in the East Baltimore area, but not in, outside of Canton, you can't find a thing. You can't find anything. I'm not looking at this map of where supermarkets are not. It's just really shocking. I mean, it's unbelievable. 410-319-8888, thank you. 410-319-8888. Clarence, you're on the air.
To you and your guests.
Good evening, Clarence.
Good evening, Clarence.
Steiner, if I want to comment on the supermarkets, but may I say something about what's going on in our city just real fast?
Sure.
In reference to Mr. Bernstein being state's attorney and Warren Brown's support, Mr. Bernstein, somewhere down the line, will run for mayor, and with that support, Warren Brown will become state's attorney. I just want the folks to remember that move and his support for Mr. Bernstein. In reference to the supermarkets, doesn't City Hall have a responsibility to have a strategic plan to reach out to some of these corporate supermarkets to offer them incentive to strategically locate supermarkets? I mean, have you ever heard of a plan coming from City Hall to reach out to these supermarkets and say, look, we have a problem here and you can help us solve it? That's my question.
It's a good question. Not off the top of my head. I have heard of, I mean, I know that they were trying to move in certain get supermarkets to move into certain areas, but I've not heard of a concerted effort to make it palatable for supermarkets to move into neighborhoods they don't want to move to. That's an interesting conversation to have with our elected officials, I think.
That is. I don't know if we've heard a lot about that in terms of people advocating or, you know, even speaking loudly or putting toilets on the front of supermarket lawns to address their frustration with having no supermarket. You know, maybe we should put a toilet on the front of one of these chicken box spots. And for those of y'all who are not familiar with the chicken box, it's literally a box of chicken. It's no other way to define it. It's all kinds of parts inside of a box doused with lots of salty content, which would make the Republican Party very happy.
So this is more than just your distaste for chicken.
Yes, yes.
I mean, cooked chicken.
Yes, yes.
Dead chickens.
It's dead cooked chicken. And that chicken box was one of my favorite things in college. Be real clear. I was not always meat-free. I'm a Southern girl. My folks was from North Carolina. We had everything from the Rooter to the Tooter. So that's fine. I have no prejudices against that. It raised me. It made me. But the point I'm making is let's take our frustrations and put these toilets in front of, you know, some of these random chicken spots, you know, on every corner in these poor neighborhoods that don't have grocery stores.
Well, there's a way to make food more affordable. When I go to certain places, Giant, Safeway, many other places, Super Fresh.
Mm-hmm.
They all have organic counters now.
Yeah, even the one downtown.
Or vegetarian counters.
That little mini boutique Super
right.
Fresh right there on Charles Street.
So, I mean, and there's a change afoot. The question is, those things have to get into people's neighborhoods. We have to begin to help people to change their diets. I mean, it's absurd that over one-third of all Americans are obese, and more than that when it comes to our children. I mean,
yeah.
It's 410-319-8888. Fran and Laurel, you're on the air.
Hi, Hi, Mark.
Hi, Fran.
Hi, Fran.
Hi. I just want to tell you and give you a real brief example. You're right on the money in your program today. You're exactly correct. And I shop at different stores, and the organic is being implemented into everywhere, like you say, Mark. But you should do a little experiment with yourself like I did to really test all the things that the manufacturers say and the politicians say. And I didn't change what I ate in my diet. I simply converted what I ate in my diet to organic. And by doing that, just by not going on a diet to lose weight, but just changing, simply eating conventional to organic, I lost 10 pounds in a month.
Wow.
And
that's
so
great.
That for me says to me that, yes, the manufacturers putting chemicals and things into the foods that make you fat. It's all truth, plus the fact that these things are healthier for you, and also the fact that everything is going towards that. It's gradually everything is going to go there. So we're evolving towards that. But these things do affect us, and I gained 100 pounds because I'm always on the road a lot and I eat out a lot simply from eating fast food.
Right.
So, Fran, did you feel any differently when you switched from conventional? I mean, clearly you lost weight, but did you feel differently? Like, just in terms of your thinking, how you were feeling, did you notice you got less sick? I'm just curious, did you feel any different?
Yeah, I did, and I just want to tell you, too, for those skeptics, it was not psychological. You cannot psychologically lose fat. It all was very real, and I am a highly sensitive person, so it does affect you, your hormones, and how you think.
Oh, yes, it does.
And you realize, and you're thriving because your body is grabbing what it needs. So, there is a big movement towards organic, and everyone needs to evolve towards that. And I just wanted to say thank you for having the program today.
Fran, thank you so much.
Thanks for your comment, Fran.
And, you know, I was going to say something here. I have to give a little shout-out to the Baltimore City government for what they're doing. And I thought this was this, so I looked up to make sure I had it right. The Baltimore City Department of Health has instituted this Get Fresh Baltimore program where they made a deal with Santoni Supermarkets, which are across the city, a small privately Baltimore-owned company. And they have a campaign where people can order fresh, healthy food from Santoni's. It's called the Virtual Supermarket, and have Santoni's deliver it to your house if there's no supermarket in your neighborhood.
So if you're in the desert, you can order fresh food.
So that they're working at some. They're working this whole thing called GetFreshBaltimore.com, which you can check out.
Mm-hmm.
We'll put up on our website. So at least that's a step.
And that's city government.
That's city government.
So we can attribute that to the
Mayor Stephanie Rawlings Blake's administration in her Department of Health.
Okay.
Which is a step in the right direction. I mean, it's pushing, getting farmers markets to want to move into working class neighborhoods and not just into wealthy neighborhoods to sell fresh food to people. So it's something we have to do. And I think this is a campaign that we can all, it's about how we, our whole food system is screwed up in America.
Absolutely.
And we have to change the food system in this country.
Absolutely. That was a great comment by Fran. You got somebody?
It was a great, yes, we do lots.
Okay, let's take a
410-319-8888. Paul, you're on the air.
Hi, Michelle. How are you?
Hey, Paul. How are you?
I'm fine. You were saying earlier about they're angry that Michelle is pushing this, you know, pushing health, only because they have a whole big net of being unhealthy. They put these video games out, and people come home, they watch TV, and
they play
video games.
Right.
They don't exercise. They have all this unhealthy food and this unhealthy living, and then when you get sick, they don't want to give you health care.
Right. So, Paul, you're with me. So you're saying that if she's saying get healthy, that means you're outside, you're running,
right.
Your kids
or
are
walking,
right.
Whatever.
You're walking, right?
Right, and also you need to be vigilant at basically learning about foods and the grocery store layout. They always say stay on the outside because that's better than all the stuff on the inside.
That's right, right.
So take care of looking at stuff like that.
Wow, that's a great point, Paul.
Right. The stuff on the inside of the aisles are things that are always canned, full of sugar, full of things. I love sugar.
I mean, who doesn't? Sugar is the first legal drug. You know that, right?
Sugar is it. Without sugar, I'm not going to go into my whole history of sugar thing. We did a show about that. It'll be up on the air next week.
Okay.
It's a really interesting story.
I would love it.
without sugar, there'd have been no slavery without that sugar and slavery battle. There'd have been no fight for democracy and freedom without, and we'd never have freedom in the Western world. It's all weird and convoluted, but it's all true. But we'll get into that another day.
Okay.
You'll love this book. You will love this book.
I would love it. I'm sure I would.
But, Paul, thank you.
Thank you, Paul.
I think I know which Paul that was. 410-319-8888. Yvonne, you're on the air in Baltimore County.
Hello.
Hi,
hello,
Yvonne.
Yvonne.
Yes, I wanted to make a couple of comments about retail service and about organic foods. To start, I guess, with organic, I just have to give a testimony of my own.
Sure.
Being a cancer survivor, I can't say that I am a total organic foodie because it's not that accessible all the time in the city.
Mm-hmm.
The various things that you would like to have, you know, that would be good for you. But, I mean, when I was going through my treatments and things years ago, about 7-8 years ago, I just knew then that organic was going to be the way. And I'm telling you, oh, my God, the difference that I feel when I'm eating organic and I'm not. No, I just feel like a lot of times I have to attribute my life right now, being alive even, just to eating organic food.
Wow.
I just have to say that.
That's awesome.
I'm not a vegan.
You don't have to be, but you're conscious about eating organic versus conventional, and you have a personal testimony of how it changed your condition and your diagnosis, and now you're a survivor.
Yes, indeed.
Excellent.
And I just want to say, when you talk about the quality of food, okay, if you could just, I mean, I have to eat something sometime if you can't get the access to organic. And if you just take food from a regular supermarket, like vegetables and things, I love the salads. Like Whole Foods, shout out for y'all for that salad bar.
Absolutely. And the hot bar, too.
If you get, yes, indeed, got that, too. Super Bowl, yeah. Anyway, but when you got that salad from Whole Foods or the lettuces, smell that. Then smell what you get from a regular supermarket. I'm sorry. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's immediate. Your system, if you're looking for that, if you know what you're looking for, it's immediate. You can tell the difference.
Yeah.
And I think, who do we talk to about that across the board? Something has to be done with that pesticide stuff.
Yeah.
It has to be. And the last thing, I guess I won't hold up the lines, but service varies everywhere. I get some great service at Food King. I'm eating hard right here in the city. You know, I can't really complain. I love their variety for regular supermarket shopping.
Mm-hmm.
Since I don't want to do a lot of red meat, porks and stuff, their turkey varieties and all of that stuff, I have to give them a shout out. They
That's really all right.
That's wild. Excellent. Thank you for the balance.
Thank you so much. That was great.
All right. Y'all take care.
You
Thank
too,
you,
Yvonne.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
We were talking about a place we both ate at the other day.
The Land of Kush. Land of Kush. When you have to do a sigh after you say something, that was some good food.
Man.
When you got to sit back and just start looking in the sky as
Mercy.
If the food is calling you,
Oof.
That was some good. Land of Kush on Utah Place.
I've
Utah
been thinking
Street.
About that food ever since we had it. I bought it from our producers for our meeting on Friday.
It was some good food.
Because I promised to buy them lunch. And I bought them lunch.
Okay.
They're both vegans like you.
Oh, okay.
That's what we call our little outfit, two vegans and an omnivore.
Sound like the beginning to a real unsavory joke.
It does. Then I called home and said, on my way home, and Valerie said, I know you're not coming home without going back there making me something.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm with Valerie.
So you eat their ribs, which are made of tofu, mm-hmm. barbecue ribs.
And amazing.
If you're a meat eater or have been a meat eater.
So you were a meat eater, so were they still tasty to you?
Mm.
Try them out, y'all. Just, I always say, open up your mind. And Yvonne said it. I mean, she opened up her mind. She tried something different, and look at the difference it made.
Lots of callers. 410-319-8888. And Tanya, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, Tanya. Welcome.
For the wealth of information you provide on a nightly basis.
Thank you.
I too echo the sentiment of the previous caller. Prior to going organic, I never in a million years would have thought that I had to quit smoking. But going organic and detoxing for 21 days with the Martha's Vineyard 21-day detox system, I haven't smoked in more than 5 months. So I
wow.
really, really believe in the organic system and eating healthy. And I applaud Michelle's efforts. I'm calling primarily because I've noticed the trends that McDonald's has taken advantage of in looking at our urban communities where the consumers are and where our inner city schools are. And I was wondering if we can't take advantage of those same trends, even adversely, the way Wegmans and Trader Joe's is taking advantage of their targeted audience, and line up some sort of incentive within our urban communities to get healthier in planting such the kinds of stores that are being planted in these communities in the same sentiment as McDonald's did, you know, negatively with our communities. And I was also hoping that with going vegan or vegan, I was hoping on Channel 77, that's really, really a resourceful network or station, and I was hoping that maybe a cooking channel or a cooking team could walk us through, just like with the Get Fit Baltimore.
Right.
If there could be a cook on that channel, showing us what meals are available to us.
I think that channel is open to many things because they want to find new programming to do. And I think that's a great idea.
And I think it's a great show to pitch, where you actually pitch a show where we're teaching you how to make healthy foods in your community.
Right.
That's a great show.
Thank you so much, Tanya. That was really
absolutely
great.
And
thank you, Tanya.
I did want to also mention that they're putting a fresh, I think it's called Fresh Foods, across the street from the Towson Mall. And I was hoping that maybe we can get something along those lines in the Northeast District.
Oh, yes. What's the name of that supermarket? There's one over on Greenspring.
Right. They took the super fresh away.
Right.
Yukazu Books and Traders, and now they're putting up Fresh Foods.
We saw that driving past it the other night. That's right.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, they should. Those things need to be in our city.
Yeah.
Well, we're getting there. We will fight. This is a fight we have to make in the city, and we can make it together and make it happen.
Absolutely.
To save our children, to save our future.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Tanya. We have a Mike Young on the phone with us, I understand. We'll go to him real fast. He can stay with us for a bit. We'll go to some other callers as well. He used to play for the Orioles.
Awesome.
Mike, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm well.
How are you doing, Mike?
I'm doing fine, thank you. You know, I really appreciate you taking my call. I was listening to everybody, and they are basically echoing my same sentiments in regards to health and fitness. You know, as a former Major League Baseball player here in the Baltimore area, I've always been into fitness and health, and that is why I'm a personal fitness trainer and nutritionist now. But, you know, touching on a couple of things, this is the first generation that our young kids, a lot of our young kids, will not outlive their parents because of the high obesity and overweight issue that we're dealing with. And what we need to do is we need to really look in the inner cities to get information to these individuals that struggle with trying to find out what things to buy when they go into the grocery stores. You know, a lot of the times people are not aware of that processed foods, these are foods that you want to stay away from.
Right,
right.
You know, it's very, very important. But they just people that just need to get educated.
That's
people
what it
that
is
need to be
Mike.
Taught. Because mm-hmm. we've always known one way. To the supermarket, you know, a lot of the times we buy things on impulse. Something looks nice in the packaging. It's all designed. It's all set up that way. So my thing is, it's just important to really get through to these individuals, the kids, and, of course, the parents as well, so the parents can educate the kids to talk about the importance of health, nutrition, and
right.
personal
fitness. Do I understand you have an event coming up?
Yes, I do. I have an event coming up on April the 8th and the 9th. It's going to be a huge event. It's going to be held at Coppin State University. It's going to be called Let's Move Baltimore.
Oh,
excellent.
Good.
I've been working a lot with the First Lady down in, you know, the First Lady, and so I've kind of adapted to some things in regards to what we're going to be doing in April, because I'm very much aware of the Let's Move.
Well, Mike, let me do this, because since we have a lot of callers in line, if you don't hang up, I'll have one of the producers of the other line will get your email and cell phone number so I can get in touch and we can talk more about this, get you on the air.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Mike.
And thank you very much.
And Valerie just wrote in
mm-hmm.
to remind people that, and we'll let you know more about this as it approaches, we are having a town hall meeting in April with the University of Maryland Medical Systems and with the School of Community Public Health and Policy here at Morgan State University.
Excellent.
On obesity and health. And we'll let you know more about that. It's going to be coming up. We'll be doing it at the Enoch Central Branch downtown to bring parents and kids together with experts to talk together about what we can do. So we'll be having that. We'll be working on that. I'm sure Michelle, maybe Mike Young may be involved, and others, because that's it's a critical issue for our future. Should we get another caller in here?
Yeah, I think we should, Mark.
410-319-8888. Let us go to there's so many people here. Let's get as many as we can. Keisha in Pikesville, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. Good evening. Keisha. How are you guys?
Hi, Keisha.
Hi. So I was listening in, and I'm a transplant from New York and from the Caribbean, and I think one of the biggest problems that they have here in Baltimore is that there's just not the availability of fresh foods. Mm-hmm. Forget even having organic. I think the first step is getting people to eat fresh foods, mm-hmm. and then you can easily transition them over to eating organic foods or just anything that's better for them. And the point that I had to make is I moved from New York, like I said, and there are, in my mother's neighborhood, 4 organic markets in walking distance from her house.
Wow.
And they live in Brooklyn. So it's really congested. And they were able to get that done there. And here where we live in Baltimore, we have to go to Ellicott City just to go to the Asian market to get an abundance of fresh foods. And so I think that's a lot of the problem, because if I don't have time in my schedule to go to Ellicott City, then we have to make not-so-great choices.
Well, then the other thing, too, just so you'll know, you do have access to the farmers markets, and you get firsthand foods from these farms right here, the local farms on the farmers market right there on 33rd Street on Saturday.
In Charles Village.
In Charles Village. And you can also go to the downtown farmers market
under the
on
expressway.
Sunday, underneath the Viaduct on 83. They have fresh produce, fresh food. We get there as often as we like. And then there's a fellow that's currently an OSI fellow, Gary Ashbeck.
Right.
Gary's whole initiative is to create neighborhood farms so that you can have neighborhood farms with fresh produce and fresh vegetables right there firsthand. There's nothing better than having a fresh veggie, something that you saw grow and you know that the food is good.
Right. I mean, but just even to go further than that, and they were talking about the availability of, you know, a whole food market. Everyone can't afford whole food.
Right, exactly.
We agree with you. Totally.
And they can be.
You
know,
go ahead.
No, we're almost out of time, so I just wanted to.
Okay, no problem. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Keisha.
Thank you so much, Keisha.
And very quickly, we'll get Michael from Southern Maryland, since he's calling long distance, but holding on. Michael, you're on the air.
Hello, how are you?
Well, Michael, welcome.
Hello, Michael.
I'll do this really quickly, and I hope this is uplifting to some people, or certainly informative. I just turned 58, what I call linear years, if you think like that, a couple of weeks ago in January. I was 58 years old. I still run virtually every day. I ride my bike. I ride in the 50 and older age group, bicycle, BMX, you know, like the X Games.
Yep,
stuff.
Yep.
Excellent.
I don't flip my bike because I just don't choose to do that, but I'm riding these young boys in the ground. I play whole court basketball with kids who can't do it. Always ask, who's going to check the old guy? I just want to say this as a friend, and I said, I'm from Glen Arden, Maryland, just outside D.C. We were living the life that Martin Luther King and Malcolm X and all those folks, and the ladies too, particularly the ladies, don't leave them out. We're talking about, I come from a community where everybody was an artist. We were all aware of what we're doing. Now, I call to make this point. I'm young and strong at 58, and I'm watching my friends and some family on dialysis and doing all kinds of other things. And I would never say, see, I told you, watch what you eat, stop smoking, stop drinking.
All right.
But I have it in my heart to say this, folks, we are the grease for the machine. This country and what we want will be ours when we demand it properly, and I think that's what we're doing.
Michael, we're just about out of time. But
thank you very much. I watch what you. I eat, and I'm doing fine. Thank you.
Thank you
Michelle,
so much, Michael.
Last word, baby.
Well, the last word is I'm at the Creative Alliance doing a show on Friday.
This Friday?
Myself, Rain Pryor, and Pat Brown from New York. We're doing a show, our second installment of Girdles, Garters, and Gossip.
Hello,
and
can I come?
It's going to be her story.
Can we
28
come?
Years. Yes, everybody here in Baltimore can come. Visit at creativealliance.org, but I will definitely be there on Friday night, one show only.
We will put that link on our website.
Awesome.
Michelle, thank you, baby.
Thank you, Mark. This was awesome, as
good
usual. Love you more.
Good
see you next
you
time.
Folks, we'll take a brief break. We come back. Hear a conversation we had with Morgan State University President Dr. David Wilson, and then find out about an incredible new play at Everyman Theater called Shooting Star, which we really enjoyed. Stay with us for all that. We'll be right back. Don't go away.